I'm your host Lee Sands, aka Wild World Ranger, and the reason I sound tired and exhausted is because I've been trying to figure out the plot of this fucking movie. Also, I'm joined by...
Static Reft, who also does not have a clue what actually happened.
Yeah, I'm going to say what I've said to you again, Adam. I seriously must have been looking at this film when I considered reviewing it with, like, rose-tinted glasses.
And it's not that long ago, 2006.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the first fan sub movies I ever got to saw. You see, so it's got like that, oh man, it's the first one I ever saw, it's so cool. And now going back to rewatch it, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And this is the director's cut? I hate to see how much sense the original edit makes.
For starts, who is the bad guy in this film? Cause
everyone.
Everyone. There's no good guy.
Except the lead. In case you're wondering, folks, because I've been trying to get back into more of a Toku feel on the show, we've had no asylum screeners, we've had no contact from the asylum in a very, very long time.
You think they've given up on us? All those bad reviews?
Just saying, because I got to see 100 Ghost Street a while ago. It's not that bad a film. It's like they took all our criticism of Annalise and Gacy House and applied and used it constructively for their new fan footage film.
Might check that one out then.
Yeah, also don't forget Amityville Haunting. They took all our criticism from all those three films and like made a good fan footage film. I mean, God, there's like, there's disembowelment, there's decapitation, there's like, people getting body parts ripped off by the ghosts, and you see it.
Rather than just an hour of waiting to see the ghost until it finally appears.
It's a bit like, it's like I said when I saw the trailer, it looks like a Great Encounters knockoff, but it sort of isn't when you start getting into it, if that makes sense. Some of the characters are just as annoying as the cast of Grave Encounters, who, let's be honest, I think the ghosts only kill them because they piss them off. Especially that psychic guy. I'm sensing something! I'm sensing something!
Who's definitely not Derek Acora.
I was acting my first thought. When I first watched that film with you, that was my first thought. American Derek Acora.
He even looked like him.
Look at this skinny twat. Who does he remind you of? But yeah, I wouldn't say it was as good as Grave Encounters, because Grave Encounters was pretty good. But it's like, it's close second, if you know what I mean. It's a vast improvement over, say, Amityville Haunting.
So it's definitely worth checking out then.
Yeah. Let's be honest, Amityville Haunting was pretty sick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's someone who's been reviewing the Amityville films on there, like, so. So I've just donated that to him. I was like, well, I didn't pay any money for this. You really shouldn't pay money for this movie, so I just gave him it. So the fact I hadn't heard from them probably implies they hate my guts because I gave them that film. Oh, goody. You gave me Amityville then. Like, we haven't got enough to worry about.
You just wanted to share the pain.
Yeah. But I'll let the listeners guess who I donated it to. So I doubt they'll mention it, that it was me who donated it. You know, so they did. But, yeah, I'll let you know who I donated it to, Adam, but don't say it.
Just checking the Skype. Oh, yeah.
They did something with Amityville not so long ago, and that's a hint to listeners to guess who I've donated it to, and who no doubt will be cursing my name for all eternity.
Well, should we get on to topic?
Do we have to?
Well, there's not really a lot of topic to talk about, considering it didn't really make sense.
You know what makes me laugh? Spielbaum was like a 20-odd minute show, and we had a lot to say about it. This was an hour and 20-minute long movie, and we kind of just don't want to talk about it.
I don't think anything really happened until about 45 minutes in.
Well, stuff does happen. It's just, it's like, it's a series of vignettes. The fights are vignettes, and they're all connected together in a mess.
And then there's the whole soap opera thing where she's dying and won't marry him.
Oh, sorry, folks, I forgot to mention. We're reviewing the director's cut of Kamen Rider Capital, Godspeed Love. Now, quickly a bit of background information. Many years ago, Kamen Rider was a show created by... I forgot the guy's name. 2 sec. Created by Sotaro Ishimori. Or Ishimori, I cannot pronounce it, I do apologise. And essentially a Japanese equivalent of the $6 million man. I.e., guy gets injured, guy gets turned into cyborg. Only this guy, unlike Steve Austin, to activate his cyborg super strength, dons a bug mask. And for a good 10-something-odd years, they kept the same theme. Evil organisation rigs an accident to get someone, like a professional athlete injured or an astronaut injured. They turn them into an evil cyborg. So-called evil cyborg rebels and vows to get vengeance on evil organisation.
That's You'd think they'd stop just making these people.
Well, it's a different organisation, like every series. Like, they destroy one, and another one either takes its place, or survivors from said organisation build a new one. But no, you think they would have learnt their lesson. Considering there was a 10-year anniversary special for Kamen Rider called Z-Cross, or ZX, and it basically has 10 Kamen Riders in it.
All those companies...
All those evil terrorist organisation companies, yeah. But, anywho. Around, I'd say 2001, maybe, roughly. Because after Kamen Rider Black RX, and after a couple of the movies did not... after Kamen Rider Black RX kind of got dropped because it... didn't really get the audience they were hoping for. Toll sales weren't that good and, you know, all that jazz. And after at least 2 to 3 failed movies, or in their eyes, failed movies, I mean, personally, I love Zedo, Jade's okay, and Shin Kamen Rider bombed. And Adam's watched that film, and I think you can understand why it bombed.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's like... take everything you love of your favourite show and turn it on its head. Now, granted, to us, with Kamen Rider, you could see how that could work. I mean, we watched it, it was alright. It's just, if we had been hardcore Japanese fans, I think we would have been very disappointed. It's a bit like if they made a Doctor Who movie and just completely, absolutely ignored everything we like of Doctor Who.
So kind of like the Doctor Who movies.
The Peter Cushing ones. Well,
I mean, they were all right.
They were all right. Yeah, it's just since there was a rumor going around, they were going to retcon it and say he was a Time Lord and he sort of like adopted a child who had grandchildren. If that makes sense. That was a rumor going around for the Chase script, but I've never seen it confirmed anywhere. And to be fair, they could have easily done that with that series of movies.
They didn't quite have the feel that he was the Doctor in them anyway, so...
Well, they were made during the first season of Doctor Who. They hadn't quickly got enough, stamp marked in, so to speak, you know?
Also, the fact that his name in it actually is Doctor Who.
Again, they never really explained that in the show. He did go around going... Some people did call him Doctor Who, not just as a question, the first question ever asked by Ian. Yeah, well, Doctor Who, as in, he says he's the Doctor, but Doctor Who? You know what I mean. Someone actually went back and claimed that is the very first question in Doctor Who.
Well, it sort of is. It's the actual title of the show. The show is the question.
True, but also, Ian asks it in like the first episode, apparently.
Also, the most asked question in the show, what are you doing here? I mean, I've just seen a video of just all the what are you doing here's all in a row. It's a good, 20-odd minutes.
But anywho, back on topic. So, after the Metal Hero John was sort of dried up with two kid-friendly Metal Hero shows, whose names I can't remember, one being Kabutak, also a Buttack, I can't remember. Anywho, on the 30th of January 2000, the year 2000, a new show premiered called Kamen Rider Kuga. And Kamen Rider has not disappeared from Japanese TV since. In fact, they are currently celebrating their 50th year of Kamen Rider with Kamen Rider Force. Or whatever you want to go. The song's pretty awesome. It's called Switch Song.
Ah, so it's been running about as long as Doctor Who has then?
Yeah, near enough. Just like Doctor Who, it had an extended period of off air with TV movie failure. So for the 45th anniversary, and after Kamen Rider Ibiki, the show before it, because Hibiki's kind of classed as a failure because it looks nothing like a Kamen Rider series. Fair enough, during pre-production, it was not made to be a Kamen Rider series. They just slapped on the Kamen Rider sticker on all the toys. Even though they look nothing like Kamen Riders, they don't get the bike till about 3/4 of the way through the show. And the heroes are like half only, Japanese demons.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
In short, Hibiki... Well, like I said, during pre-production, they were making a sequel to an old 70s show, like a reboot / semi-sequel. Then they got told by Bandai, you're calling it Kamen Rider now. That's like, say, making Mystic Knights of Tyranogue, and then, 5 episodes in, during production, Sabamas walks up and said, yeah, you're calling this Power Rangers Medieval Force now.
I can see that probably confusing a lot of people.
And that's kind of what Hibiki was. So, when it came to the 45th anniversary, Toei and Bandai pretty much said, hey, let's bring back the classic tropes. Bugs and motorcycles. Really? What about cyborgs? Yep. Bugs and motorcycles. And that's what Kamen Rider Kabuto is. It's essentially trying to be a love letter to you with some Kamen Rider with, you know, bug-themed riders riding around on their motorbikes fighting the monsters. And these monsters are now the aliens from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. However, the problem with Kamen Rider during this period was, well, let's put it this way, when it came to pre-production on Kamen Rider Double, which was the Kamen Rider show after Decade, which was meant to be celebrating 10 years of Heisei era Kamen Rider, the executive producers on Double during pre-production said, hey, I got a crazy idea. Let's not make Kamen Rider emo, gay, whiny bullshit anymore. Because that's kind of what Kamen Rider was back then. Fives, second half of the Biki, Kiva, Kabuto, all the same crap. Wah, 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 I hate my wife. Wah. All my friends keep dying. Wah.
See what you've done, Toei? You've made him do a whiny voice.
That's pretty much Kamen Rider during that period. It's just, you know, yeah, we gotta make this dark. We gotta make this dark and gritty, and it just comes off as whiny. Yeah, imagine if they made a series of Ben 10 Crooks, and then
which I don't watch.
All right, give me a show you do watch, not Doctor Who.
Adventure Time.
Okay, imagine Adventure Time. All of a sudden started killing off main characters, like, everywhere. And you had the hero, and you had Jake Doughton himself. Or Flynn. Yeah, Flynn. Flynn Doughton himself.
Finn.
And, like, the final episode, like, they have this giant battle, and then it cuts to white, and it jumps ahead, like, 6 months later. You don't see the final fight. You just have to imagine what the final fight was. And it's set, and the final scene is so set after the final fight that you never got to see. And it's just everyone's happy now, but you don't know what happened, you don't know who died, you just see, like, the main cast, like, a couple out of the main cast who did survive, and, you know, you're like, what the fuck's going on? That's kind of what happened with freaking Fives, Hibiki and Kiva. They cut to white during the fight in the final episode and jump ahead X amount of months and leave an open ending that they never, ever go back to.
I mean, off-screen stuff, I mean, off-screen deaths and whatnot, it's always the worst thing you can have in a film or TV series.
I give them credit, they do on-screen deaths sort of towards the end, like main characters will start dropping like flies, but then it will jump ahead a couple of months and they might mention, oh, so-and-so died from his injuries. It's just Kamen Rider at this time was a weird mess. I mean, yeah, the suits look cool, but case in point, Kabuto, those suits are gorgeous. But it's emo shit at times, or so. It doesn't help the entire cast is like Gundam Wing. They're all a bunch of pretty boys that look like they belong in Skins. Or bad soap opera. Like Hollyoaks. You know?
Yeah, I get what you're talking about.
I should probably review the film now, shouldn't I, after all my bitching.
And probably review Hollyoaks as well.
I don't know how to respond to that. I might as well take a sour now because you mentioned Hollyoaks.
You brought it up first.
It's like Charlie Booker said, watching Hollyoaks is like trying to play Sims without the controller. That's what Hollyoaks is. So we're reviewing the film. Kamen Rider Kabuto, Godspeed Love. Which, fun fact, I first saw to Matt and he thought it was some new Big Bad Beetleborg show from Japan. Ah, the good old days. Before Skype. Anywho, where was I? Yes. So, Crooks, is there anything you want to say before we get into the plot of this?
There was a plot. Not really, to be honest. I was kind of confused for most of this.
Would you say Shin Kamen Rider Prologue made more sense than this?
I'd say most things make more sense than this.
You do realize at some point we're gonna have to go back and watch Shin Kamen Rider Prologue now, don't you?
It's all your fault.
I'd rather watch that than this. Cheer up, there's a couple of good films. Zeddo and Jay, for example.
Are we going to get Matt to watch Zeddo?
Yeah, Zeddo's good. I tried to get Matty for this one, folks, but he's got a new job now, well, placement, and he's insisting he's got to get to bed early. And also, he said he's forgot his mic, despite the fact he's now living with Joey, and he could have just borrowed the mic, but, you know, I'm not being bitter.
Wait, it's not even 10 o'clock.
I know.
I mean, it's like he used to go to bed about 3 o'clock. How is 10 o'clock early?
I know. He's insisting he's got to wake up at like 7 a.m. now, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure you used to back at uni, and you still went to bed at 3 o'clock. Anywho, yeah. It doesn't help, we're very tired, folks, so we're waiting on people that have not turned up. Anywho, let's get on with the plot of this god-awful, well, not god-awful, but boring. Anywho. As you all know, in 1999, a meteorite crashed into Earth, destroying a section of Tokyo. However, in this film, an enormous meteorite crashed in the Earth, causing tidal waves and end-of-the-world-style apocalypse BS. And it brings a load of aliens, just like in a TV show, to Earth, only there's shitloads more.
And destroys all of the Earth's ocean.
Yeah, and yet they're still able to find some water.
And mackerel.
Yeah.
Like, fish still survive, even though there's no oceans.
See, my thought was maybe there's like tiny rivers now, but I don't get it. Apparently, with all the oceans gone, there's no clouds, so there's no rain anymore as well. I don't know if all these people are still alive. That's what I want to know. If I'm pretty sure if all the oceans evaporated literally overnight, the human race would be dead within 7 years' time.
And to be honest, they kind of looked like they were flourishing. I mean, they had shops and food and all sorts.
A restaurant, a fully working hospital,
People in suits.
a military base with a ladder to heaven. Oh god, every time they mention that, I just kept thinking about that episode of South Park with the Tower to Heaven.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's basically the plot was, it was during when Kenny was like dead.
Ah, yes.
It's 1 year that Matt and Trey Park, Matt Stone and Trey Parker kept him dead for the entire season, like properly dead.
I think they probably just ran out of ways to kill him.
And they needed a break, yeah. But basically, the idea was Kenny had this like winning ticket from like a raffle to win like an all-you-can-buy thing from like a sweet shop. And because he died without telling them where it was, and they weren't, they were like, "Shit, where did he put it?" And then they sort of just like basically think, "I know, we'll climb up to heaven to find Angel Kenny and ask him where it is." So they start building a tower to heaven. All the adults are like, "Boys, what are you doing? Oh, we're building a tower to heaven to see our friend Kenny." And they're like, "Oh, that's oh." And like when all the other parents come out, they're like, "Kyle, leave the masses alone today." And like Randy's like, "So I see that they're building a tower to heaven to see their dead friend Kenny." And all the parents at South Park are like, "Ah, this is so sad."
And they don't realise it's all for sweets.
Yeah. But then the US government gets this bright idea that because Saddam Hussein's in heaven, I don't know how, he's building WMDs in heaven. So they're like saying, "We need to take over your tower, boys, because we've got to go to heaven and stop Saddam Hussein from building WMDs." And then Japan starts building a tower to heaven. It's like goes all the way up to the moon and everything. It's just weird. I just kept thinking there's one episode of South Park when I watched this. kind of the reason why I wanted James on. We kept making jokes about it a while back. And no, they're not online.
Ah.
That would have been the perfect time for them to get online then, don't you agree?
Indeed it would, but we're not so lucky.
No, so anywho. So, despite the fact it's a post-apocalypse, like another Toku theme show, which, you know, I'm sure the executive producer did not watch this film before, you know, making his series, we find out that, yes, there are monsters everywhere, and how does the government back in, I say, late 1999, early 2000, combat this extraterrestrial threat? They make Iron Man armour. That sounds logical, doesn't it? But no, they decide to make the armour look like bugs.
So, and they call themselves Sect. Nothing like insect.
And, you know, if you give this to a casual viewer, like I did once, their reaction would be, okay, they built Iron Man armour and made it look like the big bad Beetleborgs. That makes sense. And that sound you're hearing is the screams of 100 gazillion Kamen Rider fans paying for my blood now. Anywho, so, using, I think, of, how many do we see? We see, like, what, four riders in the opening credits?
Oh, probably more than that.
We see the bee guy, we see the blue stag beetle, and I think we see Drake, and these are meant to be like the earliest guys. They're not the guys who were in like 2006, 2007 fighting the monsters. No, these are the earlier guys. I guess in either A they retired or died, but we also see the Black Scorpion rider who shows up in the series, but we only see for this one scene in the movie.
Yeah, it was very much a setup for the series, this. Because, I mean, even though I didn't know there was a series, I kind of guessed it.
Yeah, this is like the tie-in for the series, and spoiler folks, this movie pretty much retcons itself and its out of existence and becomes a prequel to the series. So technically it's in canon, and then it's not in canon. You know, it's a bit like how the Flash went back in time and screwed up the universe and it got rebooted as the New 52.
You're never going to let that go.
It's pretty much what happened here, though, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much the exact same thing.
Anywho, so,
except they didn't give them all more body armour, like they did with Superman.
Well, those hypersectors give them more body armour. And then a load of them get those hypersectors in the series, and they all get more body armour.
That's what it kind of was.
Of course, they also have more body armour when they henson, and then that body armour explodes.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what was going on there when every time they change into armour, it just, like, flies everywhere.
Well, I don't know how they explain it so, because I ain't watched a handful of eps, but they have this tough body armour for combat with the worms. Then when it looks like they're going to get overrun, they go cast off, and the big bulky armour flies off and explodes, kills any worms around you in like an explosion, and then you activate your quicker mode so you can then use the clock up, i.e. the flash powers, to fight the worms in the flash style dimension.
Yeah, I got kind of lost there.
Yeah, clock up is basically they activate super speed powers, because the worms have super speed powers.
That said, the worms were kind of like a big part of the story in this film, and yet they were never actually really in it. They had like two or three scenes.
The worms are, I'm guessing the worms have been nearly wiped out to the point of extinction. Well, nearly. And that's probably why you don't see a lot of them. I mean, we see them at the beginning, but also they're in the show. It's so weird. It's like making a Power Ranger film and then you're having, like, Rita Repulsa so much twice in it. And you have, like, one pretty fight. Oh, wait, that was the Power Ranger film. Mwah, 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 mwah. Anywho, so that even touched the plot. So the idea is, after this giant world war involving the worm, it's like nearly 7 odd years later. Zet's now split into two factions, the original Zet and now Neo Zet, which was created by Hidenori Oda, aka the Silver Kamen Rider, because he thinks Zet is becoming very Nazi-ist and, not letting people having freedom. And, doesn't like the Zet's orders, and they don't really explain that at all.
They just kind of, they give you the monologue like, these people are evil, you have to believe they're evil, and not actually showing that they're evil.
They just say, we want our freedom. And I'm like, well, what are we doing? They seem to be handing out as much water as possible at the minute. But, it's a bit more confusing slash annoying later on. What's left of Neo Zet, because apparently it was a big faction and then it gets pretty much wiped out before the film starts, is being hunted about down by Zet and its, Stormtrooper commando things. What are they called again? Zet Trooper. Yeah, because Zet Troopers are in the show, and their sole purpose in the show is to get murdered by the worm. I'm not joking. They show up, they try and shoot the worm dead, and then the worm use their flash powers to slaughter them. That's it. So I hope they have a good benefits package.
Some danger pay.
A lot of danger pay. I think I'd ask my Dane to pay up first before I went on my first mission. Anywho, where were we? Yeah, so they chase down Neo Zet, his last three members, two of which are Kamen Riders. One is Drake, the makeup artist from the Kamen Rider series. What does Drake do in the series, I might hear you ask? He goes round, goes up to women he doesn't know, and asks, can I put makeup on your face? To make him look pretty and
So he's the comic relief.
not really. It's a bit like, you see those homeless people, the squeezy bottles often you clean your car when you get to a traffic light.
Yeah, I know the ones you mean.
He's like that, but with makeup, and the cars are women. So a woman might stop checking her body. He's like, you sit down here, I'm going to make you look pretty again. Kind of what he does.
I'm sure people would. Well, many women would find that quite insulting. He'd probably get slapped a lot.
Well, he, like I said, I've only watched a handful of eps. And he's meant to be like the Dragonfly. Hang on, let's get the names first. Okay. You have Kamen, movie exclusive riders. These three riders only appear in the movie, folks. They never appear in the series. We have Kamen Rider Kakai. You know what, folks, I'm just going to send you the names. I can't pronounce half of these. I just kept calling them bronze, silver, and gold.
Okay, Caucasus, maybe.
Okay. That's the big bad boss at the end of the film with the rose.
Ah, the Gold Rider.
Yeah, that's Goldie.
So Hercus.
That's Silver. He has a gun axe, apparently. And Kitaros, which I can't pronounce, and that's the bronze guy. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. We've got the Olympics going on, and it sort of hit me whilst I was watching this film. Wait a minute. Bronze, silver, gold. Fuck!
Wait, you.
Maybe this is why I picked the movie. I forgot one of them was bronze. I just remember gold and silver.
I mean, the moment I heard gold, pretty much, it's just like, oh, that's because he's the top rank.
Yeah. He's also a murdering psychopath.
Yeah, I don't exactly get what he was in the whole thing for.
He's like an ender level boss, ain't he?
I mean, they just threw him in there just for the purpose of fighting.
Okay, this is what Wikipedia has to say on him. Kamen Rider Kakaris, used by Issei Kurosaki. Age unknown. He's one of Zek's strongest. He's one of Zek's strongest soldiers. Usually seen with a single blue rose. He's able to defeat Kabuto and Gattak with his hyperclock up. But is stopped by Gattak from killing Kabuto with his rider kick. He's later killed by Hyperkabuto by being sent into the missile heading for the second meteor. That's it. That's all we get on him.
That's pretty much all he was in the film for.
It's pretty much, again, and the other two riders, they pretty much get like two sentences, even though they do a bit more.
I mean, it is mentioned that there was some body with petals on it.
Oda is essentially a leader of Neo Sect, and he has a rivalry with Yamato Misamas. Is that his name? Oh, sorry, Tetsushi Yatomo, the bronze rider. There's a bit of a rivalry, and they just can't stand each other. And, you know, Yamato is all like, oh, you betrayed Zek. Zek's awesome. I'm going to kill every single one of you.
Well, he did kind of go, hey, if you join us, we're friends. And then when the Kai Prep says no, it's just like, and now I'm going to destroy you by punching your guts in.
Well, dressed up as a big bad Beetleborg. Oh, Japan. So anywho, yes, they track him down, and there's a big fight, even though whiny guys, I like to call him. That's pretty much what I used to call him in the dub. Whiny guy, I can never remember his fucking name. Who the fuck was he? I just remember his name's Gattak. Oh yeah, Arata Kagami, and like I said, I like to call him the whiny guy, because that's all he did in the series, was whine. I want to be Kabuto! And in this, he's sort of like, but Hayori, I want to marry you!
She's like, no, I don't want to marry you, you're too whiny.
And I'm dying! And plus, we've been dating for a year. The fact I don't want to marry you pretty much implies you'll sit in bed. I like to imagine that's the reason he turns him down originally. Oh, by the way, folks, yes, that is the same Hayori who's meant to be like Kabuto's younger sister.
Which, for some reason, even though we knew it from the first second of this film, the guy who wanted to marry her didn't know.
I think they're trying to plot in the film she has amnesia. But in the series, she turns out to be a worm. Because apparently the worms arrived on Earth long before the meteor did. You know, at the end.
Well, at the end of the film, they didn't really destroy the meteor, they just...
Yeah, a smaller chunk...
Diminished it.
Yeah, a smaller chunk hits the Earth. That's what... That's the first shot of the TV series. That smaller one hitting Tokyo. Causes damage, but not as much as, say, the movie meteor at the beginning. Does this make any sense?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got from it.
Yeah, but that's like the first shot from the TV series, that tiny one. But, yeah.
God.
It's going to keep going. Keep going, Lee. So they fight, and as they're fighting, Shoji Tendo starts walking up. It turns out, in this reality, Shoji's a mercenary, and he's basically going to sell his power to either Neo Zect or Zect. And he demonstrates by basically sucker-punching the other three riders. Like, one comes at him, kicks him in the groin, another one comes at him, punches him in the gut, another one comes up, judo chops him.
Yeah, it was kind of a pretty lame fight.
Yeah, just one punch. I'm going to come at... He's like, come at me, bro. And they come at him, and he's just like, punch, kick, judo chop. One after the fucking other. Because Drake has a gun. Why didn't Drake just shoot him?
Because everyone in this film had stormtrooper aim. They could not shoot anything.
I'll also point out, Atari, is his name? I've forgotten his fucking name already. Arata. Arata Kagami, that's the stag beetle guy. He bumps into Tendo earlier on in the bridge, and he's like, says to him, "Hey, don't go that way. Zet and Neosect are going to have that fight over there later." I'm like, "But they're nowhere near it." Oh, Jesus. And Tendo goes, "Huh, no one tells me how to do my destiny." Or some bullshit like that. And then, sorry, the plot. Then we, should we just skip parts of this movie and just do the basic plot?
Yeah, because not a lot happens.
Yeah, so basically we find out Zet is building a Jacob's Ladder space station, a ladder to heaven, as we joked earlier. The idea is they're going to wait for, like, ice comets to pass. They'll kind of snare them and collect the chunks of ice in the tunnels on the ladder. The idea being, as they're heading towards Earth, they'll start to melt into pure water, and they can refill all the oceans across the world. In other words, Zet are like a water company. They will control the Earth because they control the only means to get water.
I don't think they were actually had a thing which lured meteors in. It was a device which made a temporal rift in space, like a portal, and it just magically bring in a meteor.
But how the hell are they going to get them into the giant suits then? So you see it pouring into the suits.
I don't know, but it looked and sounded like they were trying to make some space portal.
To bring ice to make water. I guess they're also hoping if they just shoot one and it rains down on the earth, the re-entry would melt it into rain or something. I guess. Oy. So anywho, long story short, Tendo joins Neosect after telling, Kagami that he'll act as a double agent. Whilst this is going on, Kagami's trying to propose to his girlfriend who's been dating for a year, who we later find out is, shock, horror, Tendo's missing sister. Or to more precise, she has a niece and Tendo just fucked off. She's also dying, but they don't tell us what she's dying from.
She's dying from 7-year-old meteor dust.
I was going to say, she's dying because the plot demands it. You can argue it's all the radiation from the meteor, and then in that case, why the hell is Tendo not dying? Or maybe it's this, or maybe it's the fact that a giant lump of rock landed on her head, and she could be dying from brain hemorrhage that's taken 7 years to take effect. I had to pick this film, didn't I? Anywho, so, long story short, after she goes in the hospital, Tendo along Neosec attacked the compound early to get the Jacob's Ladder. Oh, I forgot to mention, Tendo gets tied up and beaten up by some chick called Sohara Okaku. She's like the sole female member of Neosec. She leads the Neo Troopers, and she then betrays them, shoots Drake to death, who I kind of you kind of suspect he was hoping to bang later. He's like, "Mind me to do your makeup later." I saw, like, yeah, if we win the battle. And then she orders all the troops to shoot him dead in his, body armor. His body armor that can withstand monsters biting into it and trying to cut it open, punching him. But if you shoot him with 100 bullets, he'll die.
And it's the only time people can shoot bullets in this film.
Yeah. Even though he has the ability to go clock up, he could have just hit clock up and ran out of the way of the bullets. No, he decided to be a fucking idiot. Christ, these. This fucking movie! Ah! Like I said, earlier on, she tied up Tendo and started torturing him, and then, like, Oda's like, and I'd say we trust him anyway. And then they get to the compound, it kicks off, Tendo races up to Tara, races to the Ladder of Heaven through the water suit on his bike. Yeah, I don't know how many miles long it was, but he's able to ride on his bike all the way up it. Whilst the other two guys have to take a special elevator all the way up there.
And he beats them there?
Yeah. Could you imagine how long it would take on the stairs?
I think that's probably why they use the elevator, to be honest.
I mean, it's the type of thing, like, would they need, like a convenience sort of vending machine, like, at certain points?
Yeah, just stay overnight halfway.
Yeah. They're, like, getting up there, like, okay, how many steps have you been up? 257. Okay, here's a vending machine. Where's the next vending machine? Another 200 flights. Fuck it, let's camp here for the night. But anywho, so he gets up there. Kagami, like, starts trying to open the portal walls. Tendo fights the Bronze Rider. And, like, the fight gets so hectic, they end up in outer space, and they're fighting in outer space. And whilst this is going on, Silvers has found out Drake's been murdered, so he's after the chick that betrayed him. And then the bee shows up and he fights the bee. Though I do love the scene where she starts shooting him with a shotgun and it just bounces off him, doesn't do any damage, and she runs out of bullets and starts running away. That scene where he raises the axe and starts walking after her, my first thought was he basically said to her, hey, you want to play a game? What kind of game? Well, you're a virgin and I'm Jason Voorhees. And I'm holding an axe. I think you can see where this is going.
It's not going to end well.
For you.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of blood. You ever watch the Friday 13th movie? No? Good, this is going to be totally new to you. But anywho, no. So after he kills the bee by, I think implying he used a supercharged attack to slash his throat open or something, even though we don't see any blood, the gold Kamen Rider shows up, and then he, like, drops his rose, and next thing you know, Silver's been slashed across the stomach, and he's like, I didn't get a chance to do anything, and collapses dead. Block! And then you see blood drip onto the camera.
Because they were curious of how this guy could kill them when the fight had never started.
Because he's using Hyper Clock Up. That's, like, faster than the Flash. That's, like, Hyper Flash. But, anywho. So, where were we? So, as that's going on, Tendo and Bronze are, like, fighting on the satellite. And then they sort of just fall off when the asteroid appears, if I remember. No, that was it. They get the ice comet, they open the portal, and then a giant ass meteorite comes behind it, and everyone's like, WTF!
And it's full of worms.
Yep, already.
More worms than in the first comet.
Oh yeah. The entire inside the asteroid is lined with the eggs of worms. I also love Kagami's reaction. He's like, what the hell? I would have loved it if someone just typed in WTF for his dialogue. So then, because the ice comet's destroyed, it sends a shockwave in space, sending Kabuto and the Bronze Guy falling towards the Earth. And they're in the re-entry, and then Kabuto's bike comes racing down to rescue him. He gets on the bike. And he's like to Bronze, I'll save you, Bronze. And Bronze's like, fuck you. I'm too much of a badass to die in re-entry.
So have they ever said at any point before that these bikes worked in space?
Not that I'm aware of. I've only seen one Kamen Rider survive re-entry, and even then, when he landed on Earth, he got a new suit. That's the first episode of Black RX. He survives and wakes up in a crater in the middle of nowhere in a brand new suit. I'll let that sink in.
So how did he get the new suit?
Something about his original belt absorbing the solar energy during re-entry and mystically mutating him or something.
That makes more sense than this film does.
A little. So Kabuto's like, I'll save you, and this guy's like, you know, basically says, I'm too much of a badass to die in re-entry. That's what he actually says. To a degree. And then, like, oh, that's my favourite bit. As soon as the bee dies, the chick says to Silver, we still have the bronze one. And Silver's like, I'd look over there if I was you. And you just see the bronze guy in the entry going, my spirit belongs to Zed. Kaboom! Hits the ground and explodes everywhere. And she's just like, fuck! I just love that, though. He's like, I'm too much for badass to die in re-entry. Come at me, bro! Come at me, re-entry!
And then the other guy in his bike is just like, whoop, jump off at the last second.
And he's like, his arm is like smouldering. And he's probably and Kabuto's probably whistling, oh god, I wish there was like a pool or something nearby I could just dunk in to cool off. Because his arm is literally smoking. He's basically come down on the bike. He's come down on the the ladder to heaven on the bike, just like racing down it. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking that this film, Jesus Christ. Iron Man has a better grasp of physics than this film. Duh. But anyway, we then find out Zexed and plan, because humanity is about to die or something, they say fuck it and bring more worms, so humanity will continue, because when worms eat humans, they take our DNA and they become us, hence my Invasion of the Body Snatchers comment. Because that's what Kamen Rider Kabuto is, it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Power Rangers. Well, that's the series.
Okay, then.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So their plan is, we'll survive if we let the worms eat us.
And the gold guy is pretty much like, I don't care as long as I'm in power.
I don't care as long
as... All my killing stuff.
Yeah, I don't care as long as I get to beat the crap out of people and have a rose garden. But then the traitor... You know, who's found time to get changed and go all the way to the main headquarters, and over here's the plan. You know? 5 seconds ago, you're at this plant in your military rebel gear, and now you're outside this building in full set uniform, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm pretty sure only 10 minutes have passed.
Hyperspeed.
And then she overhears, and she wins away, and like, the head of Zex all like, we have a mouse listening. And then she calls Kagami, or is it Tendo later on, and says, you know, she's lying in the gutter somewhere bleeding, and she puts her sunglasses on at night to look cool before she dies, and goes, Zex bringing more worms, you have to stop them, I'm going to die now, blog! Ah, oh, Jesus, this film. So, as this is going on, we find out Hayori is finally dying because of meteor dust, I guess, and then, you know, Tendo reveals he is her long-lost brother. So, why didn't you come to her sooner before she died?
Wait, didn't this already happen?
Oh, well, I haven't got to this bit yet. Well, sorry, I jumped ahead a little. Sorry. So, basically, seeing Kagami get married as he's dying, and as soon as they finish the vows, she dies. I'm not
Good
joking.
timing, like everything in the film.
Yeah, she literally dies the second she finishes the vows. I'm like, well, that kind of sucks. You didn't even get to do the honeymoon bit. That really sucks. Oh, well, so, as I said, Tendo and Kagami learn of Zek's evil plan, so, because they have nothing left to live for, I guess, and they're trying to be the badasses, they raid the Zek faculty, they activate their clock up, they beat the shit out of hundreds upon hundreds of worms, they race through the freaking pipe all the way up to the ladder to heaven, and they arrive there, exhausted, knackered, only to find the gold guy there.
And then he pones them.
Yep, he then, like, he goes on about the speech saying, oh, I want power, yeah. And then he does a kung fu pose, gets his morpher Zector thing, and they're like, you know, Henshin! And they have that. I will say this about Kabuto, I love the, like, morphing sequences.
Yeah, it's probably the best graphics in the film.
And then there's the clock, there's the, like, the cast-off sequence. When they get, like, the henching item, they just, like, pull it back a bit, you know? Like the beetle horn thing, they just go, crushed off! And it just explodes, and then, yeah. So Gold pretty much, as Adam puts it, pones them with hyper clock up. Beats the living shit out of them. There's this monologue about how apparently Kabuto was trying to lure him out by getting all the other riders killed, apparently. Fuck! And then, you know, Kagami saves his brother-in-law when the gold guy's about to, like, murder him with Hyper Rider Kick. Takes the Hyper Rider Kick and it injures him. Tendu then shoves the gold guy into, like, an airlock. Takes the Hyper Zector. And just as he's about to punch his way out the airlock, opens the airlock and sends him flying into outer space. At which point, Kagami collapses and Kabuto subs him into an escape pod and sends him back to Earth.
Which the gold guy then grapples onto. Somehow.
Because apparently he's still got this. I guess he's still got enough hyper energy or something. And then, you know, tries to kill Kagami, but then Tendo activates the Hyper Zector, gets a brand new armor add-on, and then uses the Hyper Clock Up to change history, to save his friend, his brother-in-law from dying, and then sends the gold guy flying into the missile slash ship thing, blows it up. Then he waves goodbye to his friend, flies towards the meteor, and then grabs onto it and says, "We're going back to see a friend of yours." Uses the Hyper Zector, which I had no idea could actually fucking do this, and if it did, why the hell did no one else do this? Uses the Hyper Zector to travel back in time 7 years. At which point he then rams the new meteorite into the old meteorite, it shatters into a gazillion pieces, many of which burn up in the atmosphere, except one giant chunk that goes careening towards Tokyo, does some damage, not as bad as the original meteorite. At which point he flies, I guess, towards Tokyo in a beam of light, appears like a bug-themed angel in front of his younger self. Tells him to put on this belt and gets him to save his younger sister, who turns out to be a worm later on the show, but we're not going to talk about that. And then we jump ahead 7 years to start the TV series.
And we also have a little scene showing the future we've already had, just like everything snowing and the world's ending.
And then it just gets wiped from history because he's rebooted the universe. So technically, it never happened.
Not a single second of this film.
It's not like what they said in Star Trek 2009, where they basically said Nero and Spock's actions created an alternate reality. Nope. which, you know, I actually thought that was how it was going to end. It was going to be like, yep, you created an alternate reality now by, you know, changing the asteroid and all that. And no, apparently if you go back in time and change one aspect, you wipe out that timeline. And let's be honest, that was a pretty shitty future.
And instead now they get to open a restaurant just like before, but in a planet of water.
Yeah. His sister, who may or may not know about him, is there. Kagami's there, still flirting with her. He's still got the store owner, who treats her like a daughter. And, oh, by the way, Tendo's living with his so-called sister, who it gets revealed later on in the series, is in fact his cousin, and he's her legal guardian. But when they find out his sister is actually alive and is the chick at the restaurant, they're all one big happy family again at the end of the show. Also, someone suggested to me that Tendo, apparently, as soon as he gets the Hyper Zector, he goes back to change history all the time. Apparently, they imply in the series that Tendo has been doing this loads of times, going back in time to change history to get the perfect Earth.
He's not doing a very good job at it.
To be fair, you go from giant ass meteorite to tiny meteorite, that's a very big improvement. For one, the oceans haven't disappeared in this new timeline. Which makes you wonder, how bad were the other timelines?
Yeah, with even more worms.
Was there any Earth? It's just, I love the fact that like, the little kid, the scene at the end, folks, where the little kids see, like, Kabuto in high performance, he's got, like, the bug wings, like, angel wings. The look on the little boy's face is like, so angels look like Beetleborgs? I don't remember them saying that in school. Can you imagine someone making a sketch where, like, the Virgin Mary is sitting down and then the angel Gabriel appears and he looks like, you know, the blue Stingerborg with wings? Mary, I am the angel Gabriel. She's really screaming.
See, that'd be an interesting series where they just kind of a religion formed around about them.
But no, we don't get that. But see, just draw little doodles of him in the future, the new future, and she looks more nerdish.
Didn't you say on Skype earlier that in the series she speaks to her drawings?
I typed it up the text word from Wikipedia. I don't remember. I don't remember that because I only saw a handful of eps. But no, it turns out, spoiler, she's actually like half worm or something. She's a bit like Blade. Her mum died while she was pregnant, and because the worm replicated her, it replicated her as well when she was still like a fetus or something. Which is just weird. Oh well. Great?
Very low. Maybe 1.5 out of 10.
Would you recommend this to anyone?
Not unless they were a diehard fan of this series.
But even then, if they're a diehard fan, they've probably always seen it.
I don't think I really know anyone that's a diehard fan of it.
I mean, if someone was like trying to get into this, like, if someone was like a Power Ranger fan and never seen the Japanese tokusos, like, you know, you, like you, when I started showing you, like, Spielbarn and that, would you have recommended this film?
Not in the slightest.
No, you'd recommend Spielbarn, wouldn't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I wish more episodes of Spielbarn got subbed. I give this probably 2 out of 5. Yeah, I did pick it with, like, you know, rose-tinted soldier glasses on, but Rewatching it, it's not aged well. It's a giant mess. I mean, considering like Kamen Rider Fives, which last time I checked was by the same writing team, is again a movie based on the series set in alternate reality. You know, it does a better job as a movie. It's hard to explain. That movie is again the Fives movie, which is set in. You know, it's by the same writers as this last time I checked, same production team. That's set in alternate reality, and that ends in that alternate reality. It doesn't go back to the TV show, it's like they take the characters from the TV show and put them in a different setting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's pretty much Power Universe.
So, you know, imagine if MMPR, but Rita controlled the Earth. And like, they only hope were a band of rebels who had a handful of Power Rangers, and like Rita's like Nazi elitist humans also had Power Ranger powers. That's kind of like what Fives is a bit. Well, the Fives movie, Paradise Lost.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That would actually make a cool film. Oh well. Right, thanks again, folks, for joining us. We hope to get another episode out soon, and hopefully Matt, you might rejoin us.
We'll have to try and force him to.
Well, that other show should hopefully, you know, interest him. You know, the one I suggested?
Yeah, that looks quite interesting, that one.
Mm-hmm. I hope you, Jamie, will be back, folks. Well, anywho, we better get going since it's getting late. Good night, folks.
Good night, everyone.
30 years.
You will join us, Doctor.
All will join us.
The Titans will choose another leader. One who will not follow false Titans.
Hey, what are they going to do with us?
Take the false Titans. They are to be burned with the flame of fire.
Six doctors.
Chin up, Kathy. Where there's life, there's hope.
I'm the doctor. This is Kevin. He's my friend. Hi. Alexi, how have you been?
Before your very eyes, I will show you the disappearing cabinet of swords. First, I remove the tablecloth without once disturbing the items that are upon it, like so.
I'm the doctor. Think. Oh, yes, of course. Regeneration. I regenerated. That explains the weakness in the knees. Here I was thinking we were in for some bad weather.
We don't always land in trouble. What about that holiday on Rufius 9?
Isn't this nice?
I feel like a walk. Sydney Town, as I mentioned earlier, is about a half a mile that way.
I'm the doctor. You'd be surprised what I can do.
Hundreds of enemies.
Cyberman will investigate.
Exterminate, exterminated.
I am Bishak, King of the Cylons.
This is Commander Stirk of the 9th Sontaran Data Fleet. Do not attempt to resist. Your planet is now under Sontaran control.
I am the Black Guardian. Doctor's good is my evil.
And one monster the Doctor has faced throughout his lives. But never this directly.
This is Greyhound 6. We are currently following a blood trail away from the wreckage. Request...
What the... Who's that?
Ah! That one! Request backup! We need...
Ah! Ah, my hosts!
I see. I'm afraid I have a few complaints about your hospitality so far.
Let loose in London. This thing will wreak total chaos.
What do these Geordies have to offer us? Technology? Resources?
I think our time is up, Mr. Holmes. You've had quite enough of our cooperation for one day.
Arthur!
What the?
Stun him!
Doctor, please be quiet. They'll arrest us again.
That's the idea, Lissa. Who is that?
Doctor! Over here!
Oh, this? Sonic screwdriver. Quite benign tool under most circumstances, but with the power boosted to the right level... Yes, I am sorry about that. So now you defend yourself? Good. That's it. Come on! I'm killing you, don't you understand? I don't need you anymore! Ah!
Someone has definitely been interfering with my TARDIS.
It's powering up its weaponry. Don't look, Jara.
Am I glad to hear your voice? Are you all there?
All? What do you mean, Mark?
Prime Minister, you've got to listen to him.
What was that?
Captain Price? Captain Price!
What was that noise? Doctor?
The tanks aren't coming, Colonel. We'll have to think of something else.
What happened? Did they take out the tanks?
Not just the tanks. London Bridge is gone.
There'll be time for explanations later. Actually, there won't be. K-9?
Master?
Stun him, please, K-9.
Affirmative, Master. Wait!
Doctor!
No!
Do you know what you've done? I'm on a tight schedule. I'm supposed to be somewhere right now. The whole world is at stake. The universe!
Not so fast!
You won't get away with this.
Ah, I take it you saw everything.
Who are you, really?
Carly? Ah, not you as well.
What are you doing?
I thought I asked you to trust me, Carly.
I did, but you lied to everyone. You lied to me. You thought you saved the world, Doctor. But you didn't. You didn't even save me.
Doctor Who and the Time Traveler. A 7-episode audio drama by James Durkin, celebrating 30 years of the Doctor Who audio dramas from Siegel Chord Productions.